Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. Last week, we were talking about a particularly vital subject in terms of seeking success. Now, again, I go back to the point that we have made all along, that success is determined by you. What do you consider to be success? It may be completely different than what I consider to be success. Neither one of us is wrong, because we wear the shield of success as we define it. To some people, it may be very modest. To some people, it may be magnanimous. To some people, it may be something else. And we choose our own individual path to walk. Some people get extreme pleasure out of cooking things for other people or a specific dish. Some people get joy out of delivering the word, the faith, encouraging people. We have many social workers, and that's what they dedicate their life to, making life better for other people. And when you do that, you can find success along the way. There may be temporary defeats. There may be temporary roadblocks. All of those things are temporary, because what you learn can help someone else. I never experienced this, but I had a friend that was in depression. And she said that lots of things were different during the depression. And that wasn't what scared her in her life. What scared her was when she got better and feared that she was going back to that depression. And I imagine that can be scary. I had a friend who spent lots of time and in jail. And in Washington State, the difference is a sentence of a year and a day sends you to prison. Less, a year or less, county jail or the local jail, whatever that may be. And he spent lots of time in those particular places. You'd see it, and he would say, I'm never going back, never going back. And you would believe it. Next time you ask somebody about him, well, he's back down there. Then you see him again, I'm never going back. One day, he got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he developed a prison ministry that was outstanding. And I think that he had to walk that walk in order to understand what the mission was, the excuses that he's going to get, to know when people were shucking and jiving and when people were real. Sometimes we have to walk that, but we cannot give up along the way. Until we give up, we're not a loser. We've lost some battles, but we have not lost the war. And so we have to recognize this. We sometimes come into jobs, occupations, whatever we want to call it, but basically because that's the way we were raised. You may have a business that your mother, father, uncle, cousin, somebody had, and you grew up in that business, and you saw that as your success because of what you could do. And then later you got a chance to own it, and maybe you don't own it, but you see a way of making it prove it. I know my mother worked as a school teacher, but her goal was to open a restaurant. And it was a difficult thing to do because people wouldn't normally lend money to anybody to start a business in our community. I'm black. And that's, they'll loan you money to buy a car. They won't loan you money to buy a house or a business, those things that can appreciate. But those things that depreciate, oh, they're right there, Johnny, on the spot. We didn't have a car, even an old raggedy car, until I was 6 years old. And they, my mother and father, had planned this, and she opened a business. There were people saying, it's not going to work, because she was not going to sell beer and wine. You can't do that. It ain't going to work. But she was determined. Now, she sold lots of sandwiches. She sold lots of candy. She sold lots of everything and moved up towards success. But her idea of success was serving a meal. We had a concept that in the South is particularly popular. It's a meat and three. A meat, three vegetables. Now, she had majored in home economics and education, early education. She knew the value of a nutritious meal, and that was her goal, to serve meals. Now, we had to do these other things, and I'm sure she got pleasure out of that, and the customers, and she was very friendly to the customers. But that was her idea of success. It was not mine. Now, my father taught school, and while I entertained that idea, because both of it, one time, both my parents taught, but that was not my idea of success. And the reason that I didn't see it as part of my goals at that time was due to the fact that in a segregated system, it was my firm belief that I could teach students to excel. Not only to get by, but to excel. And my method was going to be to ask the kids what puzzled them. And we were going to develop our own experiments. We were going to basically be a self-starting engine. And we'd work on how to solve this problem, that problem, and others. As I had worked in industry, I found out something that I'm not sure that most of the teachers realize, is that when you do an experiment, in most cases, or in many cases, in an industrial environment, you don't always get 100%. And so we would sometimes kind of manipulate numbers to do this. Yeah, it was a training exercise, but the real practical part of the job didn't involve that. I was looking for accuracy, which is how close to 100 I can come, and precision, how well I could duplicate the results from the past efforts. And sometimes we did not get a chance to do this in school. But my idea was that we would find out, hey, here's a problem. How would you go about solving that? And my reason for doing that is the textbook is there. But it's a resource, and we have other books that we can use. I found that that was one of my saving graces. I was somewhat intimidated when I came from a small HBCU and was competing against chemists from major universities all over the country. But I found that I had what I needed. Because I had that particular curiosity. I had that knowledge of how to go about doing my research. Most of the information that I was looking for after I got started, not in the very, very, very first beginning, but shortly thereafter, was in German. I'd taken German, but I was in no way prepared to translate technical journals. But we had a service available to us that could do that. And so I had to do that. Are there going to be errors? Yes, there are going to be some. But I had the best information that I could. And I started off on this journey of writing a procedure, developing instrumentation, or doing whatever was necessary to do. And so that was a very satisfying thing to do. And I found out that I was capable because, unknowing to me at the time, I had learned a way of getting around, over, under, through, annihilating, moving the roadblocks that were in the way. I had some assistance along the way, and assistance from people that I never would have believed would have helped me, because I came from a segregated South. There were no people, there were very, very few people that looked like me in the entire complex. And with that, I thought the best thing that I could do is maybe get a good morning every once in a while from some kind person. But I found that as the harder you work and the more people realize that you're serious, the more that you respect other people, the more that you respect their work, that they are willing to help. Sometimes it's not a matter of will they, but sometimes they're intimidated. They don't know what to say. When we got to a point where we were talking about such things as race, they would choke up because they did not know what to even call me or anything else. And so it was an awkward situation breaking that ice. And sometimes it's never done. And what I'm telling you here is not that it's impossible, not that you have to get on your knees, but it is possible. Sometimes people are earnestly willing to help and work as a team, but they don't feel comfortable because in this country, we have avoided any discussion of race. I know growing up, it was a difficult thing to talk about. And, you know, you get to the point where you just avoid it. You ignore the elephant in the room. But in your path to success, sometimes you may have to move that elephant out of the room in order to have the space, the unrestricted freedom that you need. And sometimes that means being compatible, being willing to talk, sometimes even about difficult subjects. When I first went there, I didn't know anything about the American Chemical Society because we didn't have a chapter at the school that I attended. But I learned that I learned that people working on similar projects would be willing to talk because we could share information. And therein lies another kernel of on the road to success. People are willing to talk, but they want to get something out of the discussion as well. This doesn't mean that every time you've got to have a world-shaking piece of advice to throw into the communication. It may be the fact that they say, have you tried this? Have you tried that? I remember one particular problem I was having because we worked with organic and aqueous solutions, and I was doing a particular and rather than the media being clear, it was somewhat cloudy. And I thought, you know, I'm doing something wrong, but I did not know what it was. Turns out that I needed to rinse the vial pure water. Yeah, I was using water, but pure water doesn't have sodium in it. The water I was using had small amounts of sodium, and the liquid that I was stirring was organic. And what I was making was a form of soap, very, very dilute soap. It didn't bubble up and do the things that we sometimes think of. And wait a minute, I don't know if I'm on here or not. Your scheduled episode on New Beginning, Ambassador for Christ. Okay, that's not me. I hope that those of you that can listen. Now, let me tell you this. As we speak on this program, I do encourage people to call in. I want you to listen, and you can do so on your device. And many of you are doing that, listening on tablets, computers, even cell phones, using an internet connection. And that's great. That's fantastic. I love you for doing so. But in order to have a discussion over the radio, I have to have you on my dashboard. My dashboard only shows those numbers and those people that have called in. And there's a number. It's 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. You don't have to have a success in order to call in. You don't have to have a defeat in order to call in or a roadblock. But we're willing to tackle those problems. Because it is such a vast area, we may not be able to answer it, but we may be able to come up with something that directs you or someone else, including myself, towards a solution to that problem. I don't know everything, and neither does anybody else. But sometimes we can work together, as I've indicated in some of these other scenarios, that we can work together and come up with better solutions than either one of us could have come up with. We see the movie Hidden Figures, and we notice that when Katherine Johnson proposed a solution to a problem, the first thing her boss did was toss it in the garbage can because he did not value the source. And sometimes we're going to come across that situation where someone does not value our opinion, our experience, our expertise, our knowledge, our drive, our research in order to improve or find a solution to a problem. We also have to be aware of the fact that we may be doing the same thing. We need that discussion. Just because the janitor proposes a solution doesn't mean it has no value. Particularly during my time, we had some very educated janitors because they would not be hired in other areas, even where they had competence. And so understand people, not degrees, understand people. And the degree is not necessarily a measure of intelligence. It means that you have followed a course of action, yes, that you have studied certain subjects and you have demonstrated a degree of comprehension in there. But when we look at inventions, we look at discoveries, we look at what a person has done. For example, if we look at Dr. Lonnie Johnson, a noted scientist, he was really a scientist. And what he did that made him the most money was developed the super soaker. It's a toy. But he did that. And at one time, after he had sold the patent, or the company that originally produced it sold the patent, the new people were not paying him as he should. He sued, and I think he got something like $17 million out of that particular contact. So we have to look. When we look at a tree, and we are looking at a peach tree, it's going to bear peaches. There are times when that may not be true. And let me give you an example of that. Many times we graft onto roots of plants. Many times those that come from a nursery are grafted onto particularly vigorous root systems. And I had a situation where I had a tree. The tree got broken, and as it grew back, it was a different fruit. Well, it was not a miracle. What it was the roots of the original plant sprouting. Usually it's something related to it. You can't graft necessarily a apple onto a pecan, but of like families. And I won't go into that because that's not what the program is about. But we talk about being successful. And sometimes we get that knowledge from talking to others. And so we don't want to close that path off. We want to understand that God has given us the ability to dream. Now, when you get a dream, the person next to you may not have that dream. The person in the next room may not have that dream. When I was in college, I had compatible roommates. We were all chemistry majors. Next door, there was something else. And on further, there were not a ton of chemistry grads or students in our class. There were enough that we had good classes, but it wasn't overflowing. So when I had a dream about something or a way to do something or a question or a possibility, it didn't go to the next room. So feel fortunate when you have an idea. Now, here is something that is amazing. Many times people come up with a solution to a problem about the same time, which in many cases indicates that they got the idea about the same time. And here's where I may weird you out, but I really stand by this. We are like a radio or a TV. There are signals out there. But if I'm not tuned into them, I'm completely unaware of them. This is why we have to renew our faith in so many things on a daily basis. This is why we pray. It is a communication with God. And we want to recognize that that thought came from somewhere. We may call it the universe. We may call it something else. That's because in our understanding, it's somewhat limited. But I am thankful to the Lord, Jesus, God, for the idea that has come to me. Now, what does that do? It puts a responsibility to me. I can spend time, and I can develop that idea. When we look at products that we use every day, we find that so many came about accidentally. Most people have a microwave in their home, not realizing that the discovery of microwaves for cooking was an accident. Yeah, we can theorize a lot of things, but there was an engineer, and he noticed that when he got into certain parts of the room, he would keep a candy bar in his pocket that it melted. Flooring, why? Led us to the microwave. So we see this. We have often used Teflon. Teflon came by completely by accident. At DuPont, they had a small explosion. Well, they went to clean it up, and everything they used to clean it did not work. It was an accident. But in the process, they discovered Teflon. Now, I'm not going to go into our forever chemicals and what have you, but so many of the so-called successes came by accident. Many times they came because a person was dedicated to a solution. In the case of George Washington Carver, he was looking for solutions. Let me tell you how he got involved in that peanut thing. He was working at Iowa State University and actually took a pay cut to go to Tuskegee. The reason he did that was because he could help people directly at Tuskegee better than he could at Iowa State. They had brought him down because they were having problems with the cotton crop. And what was taking place on the cotton crop is that the boll weevil was attacking it and basically destroying the crop. Well, it didn't take a genius, although it did take a genius, to figure this out. The encroachment of the boll weevil was coming at a rate of 100 to 200 miles per year. You could plot it on a map. Carver also recognized when he first got into Alabama the problem. The soil was depleted. He was a soils chemist, a soils botanist. He was an expert in soils. And he knew that the nitrogen was being sucked out of the soil by these cotton plants. Now, he started suggesting to people, because he knew that the boll weevil was going to hit, to raise peanuts and sweet potatoes among other crops. He said, when it hits, at least you'll have something to eat. Now, that is not the reason that he is completely associated with the peanut. Because, yes, he did make over 300 products out of the peanut. And this came about because of necessity. Many times, peanuts were not used as food. In many countries, peanuts are a source of oil. And if you smash them, you will get oil. In fact, if you get peanut butter that has not gone through these homogenizations and emulsifiers, and I won't go into that, but that's what keeps them from separating. If you were just to take peanuts, mash them as they were, the oil would rise to the... That's what was being done. So what happened? George Washington Carver was called on because of his expertise in the peanut to speak to the peanut growers, the owners of these farms that were growing peanuts. Of course, they were white because we didn't have access to land. Why didn't we have access to land? One, they didn't pay slaves. And two, if you were a sharecropper, you were cheated out of any profit that you may have made. So we didn't have land. We could not take advantage of the opportunities that other people had. Enough on that. If you want to really understand that, go to my blog site, which is amazingblackhistory.com, and we talk about it. I talk about a man this week by the name of Ernest Everett Just, Dr. Ernest Everett Just, a well-recognized around-the-world biochemist. Why don't we know him here? Because while he was recognized for his work, he was ignored here, the same as many other people of accomplishment have been ignored. It destroyed the stereotype that made slavery possible. And what do I mean by that? Slavery was possible because people would say they don't know anything. How much is 2 plus 2? I don't know. That's because you didn't teach them the fundamentals of mathematics. Not that they can't understand. If you will look at the post that I did a few weeks back, you'll see the Ishingo bone. And before anybody else was aware of counting systems, 18 to 20,000 years ago, they were using this in Central Africa. But if you say that, oh, I'm enslaving these educatable people, there would have been hell to bear, probably. And so what we see is in this case, and the reason this program is not just for black people, there are white people who are cheating themselves because they don't work with other people. They don't play well with other people. And they think that if you tell them something factual, that you're lying, you're making up something because they've never been exposed to it. Sadly, the same thing is true in the black community because we've never been taught that. We were taught by teachers that we respected, that were dedicated, that did everything they could to make things right. But they weren't taught it either. So let's go back and take a look at this situation. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. I started off thinking that nobody would help me. But when that individual gave me the advice that what was happening was there was sodium from a previous step in the bile that I was using, and I was using an organic solution, when you look at the saponification process, which is making soap, you use fat. And then it dawned on me, he's a solution. He'd probably come across that before. Had he not helped me with that one step, I've been floundering for a long time because the answer was so simple that I didn't realize it. I hadn't come up with it on my own. But I learned something, not only that process, but I learned to look at that as I went through previous procedures of whatever I may be working on and what I was working to do. So we find that we feed off of each other when we have different points of view. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is why I encourage people to talk with any and everyone. There's some people that you can basically write off after a while, maybe. But when is that? When does that take place? God created us all, and he gave us abilities. This is a man-made thing. I hate to say this, but it seems as if it comes from Satan, the hate that we have for our fellow man, fellow woman, fellow person, whatever that may be. I don't like to like everything that you do. I have people of various friends of various political parties. We're not going to agree on some of that stuff, I'm telling you right now. But there's so much other stuff that we can. Sometimes we agree to disagree on a particular subject. Sometimes it's come up with religion. I have some very good friends who are Mormon. And at the time, a black person, a black male could be a member of the church, but they could not hold the priesthood. Everybody else could. My comment was, I'm not going to sit in the back seat of heaven. I am not going to sit in the back seat of heaven. And while I appreciate many things that they do with their family, many things that they did dietarily, like not consume alcohol, not consume caffeine, and other things, it did not bother me. But that one thing did. They finally had a revelation in their lives. I find that friends that I had here in the segregated South are sometimes members of the Church of Latter-day Saints. I don't fault them for that. It's just something that at the time I couldn't see and have not had that particular light shine on me to this point. But as we go through our road to success, sometimes we end up finding that we may not want to work with a man or a woman or somebody that we don't even know what they are. Now, I used to make a big deal of determining whether this was a man or a woman. And then it dawned on me, why am I so interested in that? Unless I plan to have sex with that individual. Now, some people it wouldn't make any difference to. But I was not going to do that. That wasn't my plan. So it became irrelevant. I don't have to like what you do. In fact, some of my heterosexual friends were basically living in sin. I'm not going to do that just because they do. I don't have to like what they do, but I can connect with them. I love the people, not necessarily what they do. Let us pass that. And when we look at our success, we have to look at smaller bites. We talked about the elephant in the room. And I can tell you about plans that I've had. Read the Bible in 6 months. Read the Bible in a year. I've done both. But I did not get out of it as much as I did when I read for understanding instead of speed. Read for understand, that which makes the most sense. One of the questions that we're going to have to ask ourselves on a daily basis, does this get me closer to my goal, yes or no? No equivocating. Does it get me closer to my goal? Should I do it now or no? We complicate so much along the way. We complicate so much along the way. One of the things that George Washington Carver did that impressed me tremendously was he got blue pigment out of red mud. Blue pigment out of red mud. Even as a chemist, I never thought of it, never even gave it a second thought. But see, George Washington Carver started off with something that most of us don't. His health wasn't that great. And so he was frail. He didn't have to work in the fields like other kids, but he had a curiosity. He understood plants. He understood where they thrived. Some don't like a lot of water. Some have to have a lot of water. Some don't like a lot of sun. Some have to have lots of sun. He understood these rudimentary things and took advantage of them. And he was known as a plant doctor when he was a kid. Well, he went to school, and I think I've told this story before. He went to Highland College on a scholarship from the school. When he got there, they said, but we didn't know you were black. Crestfallen. I mean, this hurt. He had saved money to go to school. When he was in elementary school, the closest school to him was 10 miles away. He finally found a kind black family that he could stay with. And in gratitude for the woman who was taking in laundry, at lunchtime, he would jump the fence and help her on his lunch period because he valued an education. We have so many people today that don't value an education. Now, you do something to one of the kids, like tell him to close his mouth, the parent's going to beat a beeline down there. But helping that kid understand the importance of making A's and B's, which they certainly can do, and one of the biggest secrets to doing that is to do what you have to do before you do what you want to do. Do your homework. It de-stresses your entire life. You don't have to get up the next morning hoping that you can get to school in time to do your work before that class. You don't have to lack concentration in one class because you've got to do your homework for the next class. Do what you have to do. When my kids went to school, their job was school. That was job one. That's what they had to do. I am absolutely convinced, and if you read this week's post in Amazing Black History, it's about Ernest Everett Just, a man known and recognized around the world as a biochemist back in the 1930s, early 1940s, because I believe he died in 1941. But not here, because we spend so much time putting people down because of something they have no control over, something that they have no control over, which is skin color, hair texture, color of eyes, some silly thing like that. What difference does it make if you have a good heart, a good mind, a good soul behind you? It should, but yet and still we allow that. When we come to a point of working with other people, we sometimes go in with a chip on our shoulder. They're not going to understand, respect me, or whatever. I'll tell you a case in which that happened to me. I worked in a laboratory. One of the ladies that worked there was from Arkansas. And she made a statement, which I overheard, I'll never work with one of them. Okay, didn't bother me. That was her problem, not mine. I treated her with as much respect as I did anyone else there. I didn't treat her any differently because of her ideas. And sometimes things happen. They don't have to be giant breakthroughs, but sometimes you know that you've scored. And in this particular case, she goes from I'll never work to one of them to bringing me spring onions out of my garden because I was talking to somebody and said, I really, really enjoyed them. I sauteed them and have them with my meals. Well, she would bring me onions, and I knew she didn't have to say I'm sorry. She didn't have to say I'm wrong. I understood. I wasn't going to force her to do that. But we became very good friends. She was much older than I am. She could have been my mother or grandmother. But we have to look at success on the basis of people. People. Dr. Just was recognized around the world for his efforts in biochemistry. Read the post on him. In this country, not so much. We're going to be faced with that. The reason that this is important to white people is to learn not to underestimate people, not to marginalize, and move on. It is better for our country. It is better for the world that we understand. God made all people. He endowed them with the same thing. When we look, and I posted on, if you're a member of Facebook, look for Amazing Black History. There's a page. And on that page, I talked about a young lady, and this is just a few days ago. She's 14 years old. She is in college working on her bachelor's and master's degree. She's 14 years old. That's a one and a four. 14 years old, and she's working on her bachelor's and master's. She has completed high school. What is more important or more impressive even than that, she's been accepted into medical school at the age of 14. And yet and still, we are still falling prey to the step and fetch it's and the other buffoonery that we were exposed to in our early years. What we didn't realize, and it took me completely by surprise, because I used to sit down and I loved watching The Lone Ranger. I did not realize at the time that the person being portrayed was not a white soldier. He was black. He was the first marshal west of the Mississippi. And the people that wrote the story were in the town where he was a marshal. He was the first U.S. Marshal west of the Mississippi. And they used that story. They changed it because nobody would have believed a black person could do that. But he was among those people in Oklahoma. He knew three of the five civilized tribes' languages. Yes, you had to take a Native American with you when you went into this lawless frontier. But he didn't need it. But he did it because it was the law. We have to decipher our history. And it has to work on both sides. Many people think that this is something that's being made up. That's why in Amazing Black History, I don't just give you a couple of paragraphs. I give you videos, I give you books, because I want to inspire you, is why many people believe that they get everything that they need to know out of a sermon. Sermons are great. They go along with the Bible. But you have to read. You have to read in context. And sometimes when you're in a particular book, you might want to find a complete book on whatever book you're reading so that you can understand that. You need to have discussions. You need to try to live that in your life. It's not something separate. It's not something that you do only on Sundays or maybe Sundays and Wednesdays. It's a lifestyle, and you have to understand that. And that's why this part of it is so important, because we are living a life. A life that was given to us so that we can produce, whether we're a farmer or whether we are an architect, we look at our success completely different. And we have to make this small enough chunks so that we understand what we're doing, so that we understand. Sometimes we talk about law. And if I talk about law, most people are going to think of a criminal defense attorney. Because that's what we've been exposed to. But there are people working on patents. There are people working on copyrights. There are people working on international law. There are people working on environmental law. There's so many other aspects of it. We allow ourselves to be intimidated and don't explore it. Some people have that gift that they need to develop. There are some people that have the gift of ministry and need to be developing that, because I sure think that in many cases we have missed the boat. Our church enrollment across the country, across the world, is declining. And I think in many cases it's because we don't keep up with the needs of the people. We minister to the people. We understand that faith is vital. And there are people that do that. They can probably quote you every verse in the Bible. But do they live it? Do they understand? Just calling words. I found that when I was reading the Bible in whatever length of time, that I drifted to a point where that's what I was doing. I was calling words. You don't read the Bible to call words. You read Bible for understanding. Sometimes it may be one chapter, one verse, one whatever, one segment, but read it for understanding. This may mean that you may need to talk to a minister. You may need to talk to other people. You may need a group that you can get together with and talk about it. Many times we don't even ask the questions that we have because we don't want to appear, quote, stupid. Everybody knows that. No, everybody doesn't know that, and that's part of the problem. And sometimes we have to look at how to minister to people today. What are their needs? What can we do? We have churches that sit idle 6, 5.5 days out of the week. Nothing being done there. We have kids that would love somebody to be able to tutor and mentor them. Doesn't have to be both. Could be one or the other. And mentoring is not grooming kids for something else. Grooming comes from a clean heart. When I look at the news, and sometimes it makes you absolutely sick, because we've recently arrested a person that used to teach in Delaware and had taken advantage of one of the students over a period of years. That's not what tutoring is. That's not what mentoring is. It's not what anything is. It is, let's call it what it is, it's sin. It's lusting after somebody. And we can control ourselves. If we can't, then we need the help. But there are kids out there that are floundering. They're looking for someone to give them guidance. In many cases, the parent may not be able to do that because they were denied because their parents were denied. We need to break this logjam. Break this logjam now. Otherwise, what we're going to do is we're going to force this on our kids and our kids' kids. We need to stand up and do what's right, not what's popular. Stand up and do what's right. We have, and I won't even go into that at this point because it's another subject that I'll be talking about at a different time. We've got about 10 minutes before the end. If anybody wants to call in, they can do so with the following number, 646-668-8217. We will be closing this broadcast probably, hopefully, 5 minutes before, and hopefully that will give Deacon Armstrong a chance to get set up. It takes a minute or two to get set up on here, and that way he can start his program at 8 o'clock. Now, we have many programs on Crown Talking Drums, and look at them. See what may benefit you. All of them may. All of them may not. I hope that you are getting something out of this program. I hope that you're sharing it with others because we talk about success principles. Last week, we talked about setting goals, and we talked about when we set a goal, can it be broken down into smaller goals? Because it does not benefit us to have a goal that's so big we can't get it done in a day. if you're going to write a book on a chapter in a book, you may not, in most cases, you're not going to be able to do it in one day. What do you want to do? Do you want to sit down and write for 30 minutes, an hour, 30 minutes during the day, an hour during the day? I find that sometimes we become so driven that you're like I was in reading the Bible. You're just calling words. You're just doing things. This is why we need frequent breaks. This is why we need to refresh ourselves. This is why sometimes we need to just walk out the door and walk around for a minute or two, get a little sunshine, a little fresh air, sip of water, or something to keep our soul refreshed. Remember that on the seventh day, he rested. The seventh day, he rested. That tells us that in our day, we need to rest. We need to recuperate. As we are going into spring and summer, one thing that I want you to be mindful of, we sometimes think that we have to do something every day. It is better to do that, particularly in the beginning, until you develop the habit of doing something. This is why in my subscriptions, I see scripture come through every morning, and I can get a little dose of it. And I can go back into there and get more of that. But it becomes part of a ritual. And it's part of my understanding. Now, I do that at times when I don't do the other. If I'm planning a vacation, plan a vacation. If there are times in there that I can work something else in, I do it. But the main thing is to rest, relax, recuperate, and reinvigorate yourself. We do that. It's part of what we need. This is why we sleep every night, to rejuvenate, to let our ideas come to fruition. Working on a problem? Think about it. Pray about it. Go to sleep. And you'll be surprised the number of times you wake up in the morning with a solution. While we are relaxing our body, relaxing our mind, that mind has a part of it that works all the time. And it's producing some good results. This, my friends, is what we have to be thankful for, thankful to God. Now, I didn't see any additional callers come in. I see that Brother Armstrong is on. But what we're going to do is allow him to set up for his program. I encourage you to take a listen if you've not listened before. Good program. I pop in now and again, not to say anything, but to listen, because I like the message that's coming from there. We have programs almost every day. So check the schedule. Find out what works for you. And my closing is, I want you to understand that just because you don't have degrees behind your name does not mean that you're not intelligent. Doesn't mean that you can't bring an idea from a seed to a giant oak. Does not mean that at all. It may be more difficult, but then again, that might be a benefit because you look at it a different way. I want you to be blessed and understand that you have been blessed. The Lord is amazing. My son, my grandson, is in a wheelchair, and it has not affected his brain. It has not affected his desire to live. It has not affected anything except his ability to walk. And one day, hopefully, even if that doesn't happen, he has lived a charmed life. Don't let something stop you. Remember Harbin Gurner, who is a lawyer working on civil rights cases? She is deaf and blind, but she has found her passion. Read my post on her. Read my post on you when you succeed. That is my best dream ever. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. Want all of you to join me again next week. Invite somebody to join us. And most of all, I want you to be blessed. Make your blessing known to all. Let your light shine. I thank you for attending the program. Stand by, and Brother Armstrong will be on at 8 a.m. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.